Hello, and welcome to another TeachNet podcast. My name is Clifford Brown, and in studio with me today, I have Anne Dempsey from St. Aldian's National School in Dublin's Liberties area. I have John Hegarty from Clongowes Wood College. And on the telephone line today, we have Joe McDonald, who is principal teacher of Lordship National School on the Cooley Peninsula, and that's north of Dundalk. Today's show is going to focus on the challenges schools face in relating ICT to the primary school curriculum and also to the secondary school curriculum, and the challenges that ICT coordinating teachers have to face as they go about this task. So I'm going to begin with Anne, and Anne, you are the coordinating ICT teacher in St. Aldian's. Can you tell me exactly what is your role?
My role in St. Aldian's is to coordinate and to introduce in some classes the IT programme in the school. This means that I would coordinate the teachers, what projects are happening in classes, and then I'm lucky enough to be free to be in the computer room from 11:15 to 2:30 each day. So each class comes and spends their hour in the computer room during the week.
And John, you have a similar role in Clongowes Secondary School. And what's your role and what do you do?
Yeah, similarly, I'm there to support the teachers in the job that they're doing. So at secondary level, we're concentrating more on junior cert and leaving cert, so the teachers will be integrating ICT into their subjects, and I'm there to assist them to do that.
And are you full time in that position?
I'm one of the unusual people around the country where I'm pretty much full time ICT, so I have a lot of time to play with lots of toys.
And Joe, in your school, I presume you don't enjoy the luxury of having a full-time ICT coordinating teacher, in that your school is a five-teacher school, and I presume the role falls to you as principal teacher.
Yes, we'd be in a very different position now. We have, as you say, we're a five-teacher rural school, so even though we have somebody who has sort of responsibility for ICT, a lot of it would fall down to me. Yeah.
Let's have a little chat about how do you each think of your roles in relation to the workload you have? And there doesn't seem to be any, in my view, defined role anywhere for ICT coordinating teachers. It seems to be a very ad hoc arrangement for each school. Would that be the case for you, Anne?
I'd say I have kind of defined my own role in a certain sense, but I would find that I'd be very frustrated at times, especially by the lack of funding and the lack of recognition by the Department of Education for a primary school teacher to be in full-time ICT work.
And how would you feel about that, John? Are you similarly in difficulty in the role? Is it very arduous, do you think? Or the fact that you're full-time, does that sort of mitigate some of the difficulty?
I think the fact that I'm full-time mitigates a lot of that kind of thing. However, there is a lack of understanding and recognition within the department on, you know, the importance of the role of the ICT coordinator within a school, and the difference it makes to have some funding, to have resources, to have time, because time is one of the real killers. You just don't have time to do the kind of things that you'd like to do.
Joe, I'm sure for you time is probably the biggest issue, in that all the teachers in your school are class teachers, so the role of ICT coordinating has to be done by somebody who's actually having to teach a class as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like the fact that we are a small school, the multi-classes, teachers have at least two class groupings in years up to now, where we had only four teachers and three teachers, and three and four classes being shared. So it means people have a lot of other responsibilities as well. There's no real driving force, maybe, and no real focus. It's something you have to put on the agenda and something you have to really sort of make time for or make sure you plan for.
Okay. Let's have a look at some of the resources that are in the schools at the moment. We are very constrained in time in terms of the amount of money that schools can get to raise the funds necessary to purchase ICT equipment. And how does your school address this issue?
Well, we were lucky enough to get a grant of 3,000, only 3,000, from the dormant bank accounts. That helped us to fund one whiteboard, but the rest of the money had to be either fundraised or found within the school. It is very, very difficult to continually step forward and try to provide equipment. We are lucky enough that we have some whiteboards, but what helped me last year was a gift from a company where they had computers that they were finished with, and I got 10 computers in. That those computers are in a much, much better condition than some of the computers I have in the computer room, because they are over 8 years old.
Yeah, and would you find this a problem as well, John, the technology, or are Clongowes able to manage to fundraise themselves?
Well, we're a private school, so we're kind of spoiled rotten on that, and it does make a significant difference that I know that next year there will be a certain amount of money available to do stuff with IT.
Yeah.
And I'm very aware that other ICT coordinators I'm talking to, they may have some money next year, but they have no idea whether or not they'll have money for the following 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So it's very hard for them to plan in any kind of structured way what they're going to be doing.
Joe, in your school, you wouldn't be getting any grants specifically for ICT, so I presume anything you have there, you have to raise the money yourselves.
Yeah, well, even though they say there is some money in general capitation funds for ICT, the reality is it takes all that money and more to run the school. And if it wasn't for parent fundraising, we wouldn't even be meeting the needs of the normal run of the school. So everything, almost everything we've done in IT over the years has been funded by parents. And the fact that we're looking at and reviewing our IT this year and maybe planning to enhance it is down solely to fundraising by parents. And I think, as Anne said there as well, I've been lucky enough recently to pick up some old computers from a third level institution, which I'm hoping that to set up as standalone computers. But basically, you're relying on people to fundraise for you or what you can pick up here and there.
And that's a big challenge for schools, obviously, if they're trying to be serious about integrating ICT into the classroom. In terms of the professional development then, which is another area that teachers have to be specific about if they're going to use IT, how does it work in your school, Joe, in terms of your professional development? Is there anything available to you there?
Well, there are courses available through the local education centre, but I suppose to date people have just gone off and done courses on their own. Now, there is the opportunity to do whole staff, whole school development on areas that we might identify, which is something that we are going to look at now in the future.
And Anne, you're probably, I know you have a connection with the Digital Hub, so you get some IT professional development from us. But aside from the work that we can do here, what else would be available to you?
Well, I'd first like to say that we are very indebted to the Digital Hub, because a lot of the courses and a lot of the experiences that I have had and our other teachers have had, like training days, have come from the Digital Hub. And if teachers are looking for other training, there are courses provided, but sometimes they're very late in the evening. It doesn't suit the participants to be going out in the evening. There's a great need and a great necessity for in-service, in contact time. It's essential. For myself, having seen how I needed to be upskilled and more equipped, I chose to put my hand in my own pocket and pay for a postgraduate diploma in digital learning.
I see. And what about in Clongowes, John? How did the staff address their needs for IT professional development?
As Anne said there, many of the courses, if they're being run in the education centres, they are late in the evening and people have families and they have other commitments, and it's very hard to make that kind of commitment. So within Clongowes, most of the training happens with individual teachers working with myself. And we do, you know, small chunks of work at times that suit them to integrate in with the work that they're doing with their classes. So it's very much task-based and, you know, small doses.
Very interesting. What do you think are the challenges for the future, Joe, for your school? Are you going down the road of buying interactive whiteboards? You heard Anne mention them, and
yes,
it seems to be a kind of a product that a lot of schools are interested in buying.
I suppose maybe it's the way that a lot of schools are looking at integrating IT into the classroom. Like, we have computers in classrooms, maybe one computer, a minimum of one computer per classroom. It can be quite difficult to use them with 30 children and grouping children and all the rest. There's all kinds of issues about it, even though they obviously are very useful. So this year, in our looking at the whole situation, And parents have fundraised quite an amount of money, and we're thinking now of introducing the interactive whiteboard in some classrooms, if not all classrooms, eventually.
Yes.
And that's probably the way we are looking at to integrate IT more in the classroom in the future, yeah?
And Anne, I know you recently went down this route as well in St. Audians. Can you tell me a little bit about the process in getting an interactive whiteboard, and what were there any difficulties with it since you got it, or how is it working out?
There are some technical hitches and technical difficulties which come to the whole area of technical support, but I'll leave that aside for the moment. I would find that the interactive whiteboards being used in the classroom are of immense value to teachers. You can use them both as a whiteboard and as an interactive board where you can download or connect into the internet for whatever program you want to use, or maybe you have software yourself. And I see the children are very much alive and very connected to what they're doing. And the teacher can get the concept maybe of subtraction or of addition across very, very quickly to the children by way of the examples. And if you're using the Promethean, you have the wand which allows the smaller children to move the stuff around the board. The Promethean as well, the children can come up and write on the board and they'll know immediately then whether they're right or wrong. There are lots of software out there. There are lots of programs that help. Then you come to the senior classes, and for example, in Gaeilge, using Bungabor, the teacher can immediately just go onto the site, get her posters, they're up there, they're enlarged, and it's much, much more child-friendly and teacher-friendly to be a conscious Gaeilge.
Excellent. And John, have Clongowes introduced interactive whiteboards in the school, and are staff using them? And what are the challenges, say, for second-level teachers in that area?
We did get an interactive whiteboard about 5 or 6 years ago. We found it wasn't very heavily used, and we have found in recent times that, and it's the trend, I think, at second level in general, is that they tend to go for fixed projectors in classrooms rather than go for interactive whiteboards. The money can go a little bit further, and it suits the nature of the curriculum a little bit better at the junior cert and leaving cert.
I see. The role of leadership is critical, I think, in how a school addresses its policy in relation to integrating ICT into the classroom. Jo, as a principal teacher, how do you see your role in getting your staff on board with this idea?
Well, I suppose to provide focus, to put it on the agenda in the first instance, and then to provide support. Like, I mean, I would be sort of the person that has an overall, maybe hopefully has an overall view about where things are and what's possible to do in terms of funding and what's available to us. So I see myself mainly as being, you know, making this an item on the agenda, and providing some focus and support then for staff as we sort of move on with the plan, identify where we're trying to go with it, and as we try to get there, to provide some support on the way.
Very good. And Anne, in your role as a coordinating ICT teacher, how do you think you would have influenced what's happening in the classrooms of your school?
Well, I hope I have been encouraging to teachers and to pupils. Whenever I come across a new piece of software or a new project, like right now at the moment, we would be running PhotoStory 3 as a project in the school. We'd be running IMBY, which is a social networking program for the sixth class. And we're also doing, as the children call it, Lego robotics, which involves the children. It's a fourth class. They're starting and they are very, very keen, very interested in it. And the other thing that I find is that the opportunities in IT give children who perhaps are not going to paint the town red, it gives them great opportunities that they're able to participate. And some of the work in the Lego and the robotics comes from children who are very lovshawl, as we'd say in the old curriculum, and they really, really can be very interested.
And John, in second level education, your role must be critical in helping teachers of the different subject areas to start using ICT.
Yeah, teachers are professional people, and they'll do whatever works, whatever helps them to do their job in teaching, and whatever helps their students to learn. I'm basically a safety net, so it kind of takes the risk out of it. If they're bringing a class to the computer room, they know that there is going to be technical support there. If a computer breaks down, they can ignore that, let me look after that, and they can carry on teaching. So primarily I'm there as a support role.
just going to finish this program with a little bit of a conversation around sort of things that children are doing outside of school with technology, and how do you think this is impacting on what's happening in school? Joe, do you think your kids that attend your school are using technology a lot outside of school?
Without any doubt, it's their whole life revolves around it, whether it's the mobile phone or the iPod or their PlayStations at home. It's the thing that switches them on. And if they get an opportunity in school, say for instance, to use their mobile phone in a positive way, like, I mean, you're usually telling them that they can't have it or it's not switched on, whatever the policy might be in your particular school. But if they get an opportunity to use it, say, to record even something simple like using the camera and that or that, they're delighted to have the opportunity to use the phone. So there's no doubt they're switched on totally by it. And I see that as a challenge for us, how we can integrate their normal tools into their education.
Yes, and Anne, how do you feel about that?
I feel very, very much the same. I think we have to give them as many opportunities as possible. I would find that some of my children wouldn't have broadband at home. They wouldn't perhaps even have a telephone line at home. Their parents would be dependent, as the other gentleman has said, they'd be dependent on mobiles all the time. And some of our children would go to internet cafes to look up things or do what they want to do. And they're all the time, you see, in the IMBY program, you see how they're emailing each other, how they're uploading pictures, how they're inviting people into their group. And while in school we have banned Bebo, I know that a lot of them, especially the senior pupils, use Bebo a lot.
What do you think, John, at second level teenagers today, what sort of things are they doing that you would notice?
Well, it certainly changed a hell of a lot since my day. In my day, the telephone, the technology involved press button A and press button B, whereas now they're pressing every button under the sun. They have more computing power in their pocket than I would have had till I went to university. And that is a real challenge. Now, I'm in a boarding school, and we've decided to ban mobile phones because it was a difficult thing to integrate in. But I think that option eventually is simply going to go away, that they're going to be so ubiquitous and they're going to just be a part of the learning process.
Yes. Okay, well, I'd like to thank everybody for taking part in today's discussion. Thank you, Joe. John, did you have something else you wanted to add?
Can I get a shameless plug in for the Computer Education Society of Ireland? The conference is on the 14th or 13th and 14th of February. We're still taking bookings for the Saturday. If you go log on to www.cesi.ie.
Very good. And Anne?
The one thing and the last thing I would like to say, I think technical support is a very, very serious issue, especially in primary schools. I think it's very, very important that the Department of Education wake up to the fact that we are in a digital age, we are in e-learning, and that realistic targets and realistic funding has to come our way.
Thank you very much. And Joe, thank you for joining us from Cooley. And a good plug for Cooley here. Anybody who wants to see a scenic part of Ireland, drive up along there up to Carlingford and you'll have a great day out. Thank you very much, everybody.